The following is a special presentation of Michiana Community News. Welcome to Season 2 of Racing Memories with Ron Varish, the guru of the Michiana racing scene. Join us this season for more classic Facebook interviews from Ron with various drivers, both past and present. Now, Ron Varish.
Pretty talented.
Okay, three. Two, one.
We won't do a 30-minute interview, though. It may not work. All right, hey, we're here at the New Paris Banquet. We got Mike Wardinger here with us.
Yes.
And we kind of got the shock of the news of the day that you're going to be, you know, stepping aside as the official promoter,
your
race director and stuff. But you're still going to be around. You know, there's going to be a search going on, of course, for another director.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'll be helping out, probably making sure everything kind of stays even keel a little bit there.
And it was a tough decision, let me tell you. I mean, it's kind of bittersweet. I mean, Chris and Tracy have treated Diana and I like family. I mean, we've stayed with them in Florida. I mean, they're just great people.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this passion to keep New Paris Speedway going. It's second to none. But as far as myself and Diana, it was just, I'm getting up there in age. She's a lot younger than I am, but it's time to do something different, you know. And I miss being in the pits with Spencer, helping him, and I've even got a passion to crawl back in a race car myself.
I know you talked about that a little bit too.
Yeah. So, but like I said, we're not going to leave them high and dry. We're going to be there. We got to start the season out to get things rolling for them, and until they find somebody to take our places, that's what we're going to do.
And we've been doing this now for how many years?
I started racing in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So my dad raced in the early 70s. I started in 89, so I've been doing it ever since.
And he had that yellow and blue 32, 65 Chevelle.
66 Chevelle.
66?
Yep. And then, 10 years ago, I had that bad accident at New Paris, which, you know, you would have thought would have deterred me from the sport of racing, but nah. You know, it's a passion. You know how it is, man. You got the love for it. You can't get away from it.
Yeah, it's hard just to say no.
It is. So, but I've really, really enjoyed helping Chris and Tracy run New Paris Speedway. You know, I feel like in the last 4 years that I've been there, we've really taken it to the next level. Car counts have been up. We kind of changed the flagger boy the way it was always ran. And, you know, at first we were a little hesitant, should we do this? Because it may take some of the nostalgic, you know, away.
We talked about the odd and even deal that they used to do at Hartford, and we were liking them, you know.
Yeah, but
what did it take off?
Man, every street stock driver out there was like, don't change the format. Please bring this back next year. So, you know, it's, you know, if we can get the sponsors back, Monty's Best One, which I've been there for 30 years, was a huge sponsor of that race. So we're gonna try to continue to bring that money in to help with that funding of that, and because the payout was pretty hefty.
Yeah, I mean, I had to look at that twice, and it's like, my God, this is better than a Super League model payoff.
It was.
And it got the attention.
I think we had, 62 cars that night?
Yeah, it was up there, and everybody had a chance for the A main.
Everybody.
Because, you know, it's a lot better than like the year before we had the A main, some guys that were in the B main, I came for the A main, I'm not gonna race it. And then the C main, some guys like, they were loading up and they didn't want to do it. But this time, like I said, then we had, 8 drivers make 1,000 or more, maybe a bit more than that.
I was just talking to Nick Stremme earlier, and he goes, dude, I finished 6th place and still made over $1,000. I'm like, yeah, you can't complain about that. I mean, I feel like the street stock class has grown. Like, that's almost a class to be a part of. You know, I ran late models for years, and that was kind of a passion of mine. But it's like, the street stock class here lately is just...
That's good. That's going to be the next late model class.
It seems like it. Yeah, it's grown and grown and grown. So, yeah, I still want to be a part of the flagger boy and still want to help Chris and Tracy when I can. And just, we need some weeks off in the summer to go do other things. You know, I like to ride my Harley and haven't been able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to do some camping trips. Got 3 granddaughters that seem to be growing.
No, they were overnight. They're in high school.
Yes, yeah. I can't believe 2 of them are 8 years old already. So we want to take them camping. There's some other things we want to do. So, but you know, like I said, we still want to stay and be a part of racing. And it's just going to be hard for us to be there every night, you know, and run a racetrack. I'll press Tracy running. So.
You know, it's so tough now with racing with the cost of tires. You know, like some of the tires don't last, but maybe one night, and then you're like, God, you buy another set. I mean, that's. I know down in McClone we do the American Racer. We last seven or eight nights, and a lot of tracks are married to Hoosier tires, but man, it's making things real tough for a lot of classes right now.
It is, and I know Chris reached out to American Racer at one point in time, just kind of feel the waters and, dip your toe in the water and see what it's all about, but they really never even returned our phone call.
They are so overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because when we got them, because Dave was going to either do Cobra or American, and he said, we're going to go American Racer, so I'm going to catch all of this, but they last 7, 8, 10 nights. We can't trust Hoosier. And now, they're like, we got so many other tracks wanting us. We have to supply the tracks that gave us that life before.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're going to grab a couple tracks here and there, but we don't want to shortchange like McLaughlin. We don't want to shortchange Shady Bowl and the tracks that, it's been with them for a while.
And, I love Hoosier Tire. I really do. I just don't like what it costs the racer anymore to buy a set of Hoosier Tires. I mean, these people that race every Saturday night, they're not a week, and spend $600-$800 for a set of tires to go racing. I mean, you got to make a choice: do I support my family or do I buy a set of race tires?
And a racetrack can't afford to do $600 to start a feature race or $500 to start a weekly show. It just isn't fair.
So it's tough all the way around. I mean, what motors cost, what tires cost, what fuel cost. I mean, so I hate to say it, but it's. You see every year another short track closed down or another, it's sad.
Like Greenville Pickens, I think, is closed now down in South Carolina.
Yeah, what about Rockford?
Yeah, Rockford. I mean, that track was a stable up there for years.
So, and that's just something I don't want to see around this area. I want to see all tracks prosper. Mm-hmm. I'm good friends with the Russells. I want to see M40 prosper. Kevin and Vern do a good job with Plymouth and New Paris. I mean, you want to see all tracks stay alive because we need all tracks to be alive for, like, for instance, the Flagger Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You need tracks to prosper and stay alive to have these big shows. But I know next year it's going to be tough because you got Plymouth, M40 and New Paris all on Saturday night, so it's going to be tough. I mean, there's not the race cars out there like there used to be back in the day.
And I remember Lou Strum, he had a bowl of marbles, and he says, this truck has this many marbles, this truck grabs that many marbles, there's not that many marbles left.
There isn't. So it's going to be a tough go next year, and all you can do is take care of your drivers and the fans and make them feel welcome and hope they come race as much as they can. That is basically all you can do. So, but like I said, we'll be around. We're not going to go away. Chris and Tracy are family. They've treated us like family, and we're not going to let them. We're not just going to walk away and leave them high and dry. So we'll do what we can to get the season started next year, and we'll be around. So.
Yeah. It's good to see you tonight. And
Yeah. Congratulations on your Pat Riley Award, man.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, and then Lewis from Top Row Racing, Bit Media. I mean, that dude's amazing. So, hi, Lewis. Thanks for filming that. I know your arms are getting tired, but this guy's amazing what he does for racing like yourself. So, without you guys, I mean, we need people like you and Lewis in the sport.
We do what we can, and we're spread a little thin sometimes in places and people here and there and everywhere, but it's like,
you guys are amazing at what you do.
You got to make sacrifices.
Yeah, but you do. And that gentleman makes a lot, and so do you. So we appreciate what you do for the sport of racing, and hope you guys just keep doing what you're doing. So.
I keep dragging my McClung guys up to New Paris. And,
keep doing that too, Ron.
That was a fell apart that first time they had. We had those 9 guys come up, and then that other show, and we had 13 for the year.
One of them came up to me and said, "Man, it was like being at home. We can't wait to come back." So yeah, we want Lewis to come back. We want the McLong guys to come back. You to come back, of course. I mean, it takes us all to keep the sport alive. So I'm glad and proud to be a part of it. And. Being a racer, being a promoter, director, I'm just proud that I've been able to be a part of it this long, and so
you kind of righted the ship and got it sailing.
Yep. Now it's time to do some other things, and who knows? I may even crawl back in a race car. I don't know. So.
Can you crawl in one pretty fast?
Yeah, I think I can still get the job done. My boy's like, I don't want to race against you, Dad. So, but I don't know. We'll see.
Might have to get like a Legends race or something.
Something like that. I might have to.
I'll get like Scott Frost.
Yeah.
Get you in there.
I miss some of them guys, Frosty and some of those guys. I do. So, but yeah, I appreciate you guys coming tonight and appreciate what you do. Thank you. Yep.
Good job.
You bet. Thank you, guys.
Welcome back to The Dog Show. Up next, we have Satchmo. Satchmo is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right, a group known especially for their couch-snuggling, ball-chasing, face-licking, and, of course, companionship. Now, let's see him in action.
Look how he makes eye contact with his person.
That's actually known as the treat stare.
How intuitive, and now he appears to be excitedly turning in circles.
Ah, the happy dance so common with this group.
But really, the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Satchmo is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Ready to roll again.
Okay,
we're here with Chuck Cook, and you know, you guys came to New Paris last night, and like, we had 8 cars total, I think, from McLaughlin.
Yeah.
You know, with the stock compact and the Crown Vicks.
Mountain Lawn.
And you know, I call it a different thing. Yeah. I'm the northern
right.
version
yeah,
of it.
It's cute.
Duncan always would give me. But anyway, you guys came, you know, did good last night. You know, she had went over time.
Yeah.
It's kind of a good thing, bad thing. You took the feature win.
Yeah.
And then came up here today, lower car count and everything.
Right.
That bonus, too, you get $20 bonus, but you end up winning the feature race.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had Sam here from Fort Wayne, and then the 22 car, the dirt car.
Yeah.
There's only other really 3 cars here.
Right.
But
they were decent cars, though, too.
But a neat little joint.
Yeah.
You know, fast little joint. Kind of like an Anderson.
Guys. Oh, man, this place is fun. This is a lot of fun.
Sometimes there's a spin out and there's nowhere to go.
Right.
They actually, Jaden found out in that wreck. I mean, everybody either hit the inside wall, outside wall.
It could have been a lot worse for her. She got hit in the front and the rear. And but thankfully, that's what I've always told her and my buddies. You got to have a good car. You got to be able to drive. Number one, you got to have luck. You know. And we did have luck with her not cutting that tire.
Yeah, and Tim Craig was looking at it, and then he called you over.
Yeah.
And you were like just making sure nothing was rubbing on
the tire. I really appreciate the track crew here. Most tracks, track officials wouldn't pull, you know.
Right.
Some tracks say if they don't have to do a lot of work, they'll do it. He pulled out her left front fender, and he let me come and look at the left rear, and we figured with 3 laps to go with her, you know, she'd been upset if we'd have pulled her in here and not did that good of a job and had to start at the tail. Figured we would blow
just
the tire trying.
You know?
Yes.
Like I say, the guy that was in 5th became 2nd. And
yeah.
He made a little run.
Yeah.
You know, and he was running clean.
Yes.
I'm thinking, God, if I do something, Grace will probably, you know, chop him up. But
the guy that finished 2nd in Jaden's race, we thought that I knew he was fast. He come through the field and he drove her clean, just like she would have drove him. You know, I think she went down there and thanked him, you know, for driving her clean. This meant a lot to her. She's won 3 heat races, and they've all been fast heat races. Her very first race last year, she was fast heat at Mount Lawn and won. They took it from her, then they gave it back. There was some confusion in the tower. But her very first race, that was a big moment. But right here in Michigan, that was pretty special.
And a neat track here. That New Paris was fast on a flat surface, the way it was set up. And here you can run high with the momentum.
Right.
You can run low and dip down diamond.
You can almost run anywhere you want on this track. That's what's so neat. It took me a minute to figure it out. And it didn't take her near as long as it took me.
I was telling Billy, they should have been either on the pole of the street stock race or had you at the back of the street stock race.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah, I
got around pretty damn good.
Right,
you know?
But I don't think I can stay up in street stocks, but I'd like to have street stock again. My nephews want me to build one, but having a lot of fun with these Vicks. Only going to run a couple more years. They asked her about running a Vic next year. She said, no, Dad wins them all. I don't want to run a Vic.
But they got another big race here in 2 weeks. It's going to be a street stock 3,000 to win. I know the Crown Vicks are 500, and stock compacts, I think, are part of the program, too. So it might be something we'll keep abreast of what's going on and let you guys know.
Right, hopefully we can get some of the guys, because if it's in 2 weeks, we're not running in 2 weeks at Mount Lawn.
Yeah,
in 2 weeks.
We're on the night before, the 25th or 26th.
All right,
26th.
So we leave from Mount Lawn to come up here.
Sunday. But we'll definitely be here because we're going to try to get that street stock bump up and do some lap money boards and stuff and really help the Russells. Bill is a great guy. He's got the hat on backwards and the bushy hair.
Yeah.
Used to race for years in the 80s.
Yeah.
Never had the best equipment, but he always made the best of what he had.
Right.
And then he got this track as a dream. And
sold his other businesses, and you know, this is like 60 cars. This is our highest car count. It's like, this is like the fifth week, I think, the fourth weekend.
Yeah,
it's been, it said 35, it's not been 40, raining 40, for a while. 60.
It was shut down for a long time. Yeah. I can't believe it, because this is a really,
yeah, we were here 2 years
nice
ago,
facility.
And before that, it's been a hit and miss for the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
and the vintage guys were here too, so that was cool. Yeah. My group, you know, right. So. Kind of double whammy weekend there.
Yeah, with Jaden winning her feature up here, we might have to move a little closer to this track. The guys in Mount Lawn, they're a rough bunch, but most of them's our teammates. So
really, yeah. Good people down there. They're very passionate about racing.
Oh yeah.
You know, and they know if you're here, you know, for what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, they treat you like gold down there. I mean, yeah. Just like, you know, they,
we've been around racing our whole lives, and there's a few of us that might get into it with each other, but you know, the racing family is some of the time stronger than blood.
Yeah.
I mean, do anything for anybody.
And like with Dave's illness, Jimmy stepped in like he has, and everybody else,
great.
And it's like we haven't missed a beat.
Yeah.
You know, just
Rick Swagger, Jimmy, and that Mount Lawn is definitely our track, and we like to think that M40 is one of our homes.
Thinking 5 years ago, McLaren was all but dead.
Yeah.
And now we're right by the highest car count in probably a three-state area.
Oh,
you know, 94 a week for average.
It's unreal.
And you know,
I would like to bring some of them guys with us way up north. I mean, it's. And I'm trying to get some of these big drivers around here to travel down and run with us.
Learn the cars.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I say, we were getting spanked by the Louisville guys 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then it became, you know, Hoppe stepped up the program. You got into that thing, you know, and you know, other guys were kicking it in a little bit. And then I talked to listeners and they were catching us. And then that following time they caught us.
Right.
He says, not they know our game. But
yeah.
Now these guys up here are still learning, you know,
yeah.
How you get these cars to, you know,
right.
And everything. Just a learning experience.
It is.
Well, congrats and fun weekend.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks.
If you served honorably in our nation's armed forces and you're looking for a way to continue serving your fellow veterans in your community, then join AMVETS. Each year, AMVETS members volunteer millions of hours at VA healthcare facilities from coast to coast, helping to improve the lives of their fellow veterans through the VA Voluntary Services Program. AMVETS posts and departments also participate in a wide variety of community service projects, ranging from Americanism in our schools to supporting the Special Olympics and Boy Scouts of America. If you no longer wear the uniform today, you can still serve through the AMVETS by joining today at amvets.org.
We are recording.
Okay.
All right. Hey, we're here at Red Bones Pizza and Chicken, kind of have a racers reunion and get together, and pretty decent turnout here of some racers.
Right.
And we got Harold Scott here with us, and you know, talking with Don, you know, racing back in the 50s, and you know, he's almost 100 years old. He's been racing almost 80 years, it seems like. You're kind of in that same boat a little bit there. You start racing a little bit later, but you know, you still got the juice is going, and you know, picking off a couple modified features. Stuart McGlone hasn't worked the cause there to kind of keep that car going and everything there. So tell us, how did you get involved in racing? And
I started drag racing as a teenager. And I put motors, engines out of drag cars, and put it in the circuit car.
That's something a little bit different. I mean, some guys do the drag racing part. Okay, let's go to the stock car racing.
And that was probably 50 years ago. Off and on racing since. You know, it was interesting. It didn't really work on the engine.
Now it seems like a lot of suspension, a lot of stuff between shocks. You know, for some classes, it's exotic shocks.
Yeah. It's turned a table that is more suspension now. It's easy to get all the engines out there. It's real easy to do that.
The challenge is using
what I've got. You know, that's the big challenge we're faced with today. And a lot of things are contributing to that between the track surfaces of the race, the tires we're using,
lot of that stuff contributes to it. So it makes it a big challenge. But it keeps it interesting at the same time, you know, because it evolves and changes.
Absolutely.
It's constantly changing.
Have a great day.
Getting introduced to it. Keeps it interesting.
And you started racing stock cars in the area.
Yeah.
And like a lot of guys in Central Indiana, I mean, Jack Shakelin was another one there, and then Doc started racing ASA.
Yes.
And it was kind of like, you know, the Anderson, Salem, Winchester. It would venture out a couple different tracks, you know, Cincinnati, out of Queen City, or Tri-County at the time, and Indianapolis Raceway Park. And you got into that ASA. And quite the heyday for ASA. Because, I mean, there was, it was the Central Indiana group, and then you started getting guys from Michigan and Ohio, Don Gregory would come over and run, and then the guys come up from Louisville. So when you were, as that got bigger, you know, the competition was really up there. And then you went from running 100 lap features to 300 laps at Salem, 400 at Winchester, and that'd be one of those. And we got to have some strategy here to do something like that.
Yeah, it took off there probably around the 80s, late 70s, 80s, financially wise and everything, you know. And I had to probably make some decisions to race or not a little. Only a few good decisions I made it. I didn't chose to make a little. You know, I made it, I'm thankful for now. And that's one of the reasons I came back later on when my son started racing. So I got back in the racing. And then he kind of faced the same challenges I did. He had a rough family. He had a rough family. My older years, I had more time and stuff to race. Got back in the race, and that's how I come into it now. How many more years I've got left to live. I still do it.
Always a fan favorite with a lot of the fans down here. Kind of like the underdog. You know, kind of like you went down with, like, oh my God, you got the younger guys like Cole and Eminette. And all them guys, they got the team and all this and that. And then it was like, man, but old Harold, he still knows how to run this track. And old Don, he, you know, you guys both pulled off wins. And, you know, it kind of was a dry spell. Because then you say, when the modifieds, when the late models kind of went for the race side, you went to the modifieds. Modifieds were more plentiful, then tracks started not running them. And then you almost had to follow the series. The Midwest Modified Series, there's a couple different names there and stuff. So, I mean, there's only so many chances you can have of winning a race then. But those guys, those are some tough competition with those cats. And then McLaughlin started them up like 3 years ago, and you were on board, and Don was on board, and, you know, Jeff Lane was another one that was on board. And the Coles showed up, and, you know, and it was kind of neat. 12, 13, 14 mods, 12, 13, 14, 15. And then next year it was like 17, 18, 19, 20. And now it's 24 a week. And, you know, you really need to be that inversion. You know, it's like, you know, so when you, I mean, when you look at qualifying, I didn't realize how tight the times were until I announced opening night before Larry got there. It was like 14:91 was quick time, and then 13th was like 15:21 or something. You know, it's like, I got a quarter second, it's like 18 cars. So, I mean, you can be either there or way back there, or, you know.
That track position means a lot. Yeah, it's very competitive out there. And, but it's handy for us, man. You know, it's kind of that's where we start. We started there. We started racing there. Our home tracks. We raced Anderson and Rex Robbins. Rex Robbins actually was one of the owners of Anderson Speedway, you know. And he originated first ASA race was probably the Anderson Speedway.
Yeah.
The only race, you know, and he started expanding out and stuff like that. Like I said, at that time I was in my 20s. Definitely, you know, I had a factory job, 40-hour week.
At least racing was simpler, maybe to a point with the cars. Everything's, you know, more stuff was junkyard and, you know, stuff you maybe had around the garage. Now it's everything seemed like you got to mail it out to get stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's no.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. You know. That's what was raced for.
Yeah, there's very few teams that even can do that anymore than any class, for that matter, there. And the Modifieds, they first started as a maybe a juked up street stock, kind of, and then it became more of a sports. Now it's almost a super late model, just with the body on it now, with all the stuff on it. And, I mean, they're very entertaining, and, you know, fans love them, and, you know, they look fast, they sound fast, and a different look. So, you know, all the other classes are all Fenders. Your dwarfs or your midget cars and stuff, you know, midget divisions and that. But, you know, McGlone's such a unique track. It's no corner is kind of like the same, it seems like. You got that short turn, it's just like some guys are like, I got to go 15, 20 miles an hour through there. And then you got the first turning, a little bit of a sweeping turn. Then you got the dog leg, but then you got to be on the brakes to go into that short turn again. And it is kind of narrow, you know. If you got three wide going on, someone's tires might be off that track somewhere at some point, you know.
Yeah, you definitely run out of track real quick.
But like I say, like that last race out there for the fall race, and you got on that inside, and you know, like you always said, stay on that inside, stay on that inside. Don't let, you know, Amonette, I mean, he comes off that short turn, and he's ready to dip underneath the minute someone, you know, slips up a little bit. And a couple times there was some contact, and then there was a lot of restarts. And then it's like when you pick that restart, man, do I go on the outside or do I go on the inside? It's almost like you need to know who you're racing with, and then where are they strong at?
And that is the condition of the track. Sometimes they put the traction compound out there, but they put it on the outside. And it's good, but you gotta watch it, because the first time somebody dumps all that bounce, coolant or anything out there, that's kind of going away. So now your outside changes, and you don't have an outside now that you did.
Yeah, because there's a lot of marbles and rocks out there, or more built up from the track, you know, track cleanup. And it's like, and then you always got the guy that might have the quicker acceleration a little bit off that short turn, because then he can kind of like pull the next thing and then, you know, because he's going to be the one kind of setting that pace, and then you have to kind of, or do you just dip in second behind him, or, you know, a lot of strategy involved there too.
That's real critical in them restarts, you know, acceleration and traction to be able to use it too. You know, you can't be spinning tires, but you'll get a feel for it. Yeah.
Now you're number 96. The reason for being number 96.
Probably the reason I run 96 is because of the actual for whatever reason, back when I started racing, the guys I raced for, the guys put an X on the door, drove with the X. Rex Robinson was the one person who needed to run. He said,
Yeah, that was for, was that for Cater?
Cater drove it across that side. That was for the Wisconsin one.
Okay, because he had that down with Anderson for the junkyard, with the big spoilers on it and stuff.
That's probably one of the best.
Then when you were in ASA, you ended up getting an ex Butch Miller car, didn't you?
I said,
when ASA got going, you know, you guys had the Central Indiana, the Louisville, then you had Trickle, Joe Shear, you know, Randy Sweet, Eddie Vanderlaan, guys coming from Toledo, from the Central, you know, Don Gregory was now one snuck over, John Anderson, and it was like, man, you know, you look at the race going, man, there's a lot of good cars for a race like this, you know, if they went to like a track at I-70, and you had the Missouri guys out there, you know, Bevins and Noah, I mean, you're thinking, my gosh, we're going to have a heck of a time making the field now, you know. Bill Oaks, yep, out of...
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You have been listening to Racing Memories with Ron Verisch. Join us soon for another season to podcast episode as we prepare for racing season 2024. Follow Ron's posts and insight on Michiana Community News via Facebook. Until next time, see you at the track.